Carol Hills, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. I'm sitting in for Marco Werman this week while he's on assignment in Kenya. He's there to meet African women who are owning it, as in owning their own businesses and making a difference in the lives of those around them. Marco, great to talk to you again.
Hey, Carol.
Now, yesterday you told us about sweet potatoes and how they're helping pregnant women stay healthy. What do you have on tap for us today?
I'm coming to you from Nairobi's beautiful arboretum, or as they say here, arboretum. That's because I've got a story about another plant, but this one is being grown for completely different reasons. This one is all about making money and creating solidarity among the women who are growing it and owning it. You know, if you're here in Nairobi, you see a lot of women in business. I mean, it's like any city. Anywhere in the world, women are part of the daily jobbing workforce. Many of them have salaried positions. Some are entrepreneurs. A few rise to the top leadership positions in companies. And still, as we'll hear in a few minutes from Gina Moore of BuzzFeed, women are still fighting a lot of outright sexism, especially from the media. Now, if you go to some of the rural parts of Kenya and you want to talk about owning it, you're talking subsistence agriculture. So how do women involved in that manage to get ahead in business? You know, in Kenya, Carol, it's estimated that women own just 1% of the land. So obviously that makes it really hard to own it. But here and there, you start to see that ancient system starting to crack. And the story we're going to kick off with today, in between those cracks, you can find one group of women growing a valuable plant. You may have heard about Lush Cosmetics. I've seen their shops dotted around Boston. I didn't make much of it, you know, just another store selling creams and lotions. But then I found out that some of their products come from Kenya, from a group of women farmers who are growing aloe plants specifically for Lush and making some really significant gains in their personal and family incomes. I wanted to know more about that. So I drove about 4 hours northeast of Nairobi to Laikipia County, which is where they live. The dusty road to their farm, and sanctuary really, is dotted with prickly pear cacti and thorny acacia trees. Occasionally you see zebras and giraffes and elephants. And then I arrived in the women's little village of Twala. The women are all Maasai, the nomadic tribe that lives in this part of Kenya and Tanzania. They were expecting me, and the welcome was humbling and kind of overwhelming. They're singing about their work and their farm and why they're happy to see us. These women created the Twala cultural manyata over 15 years ago. Manyata is the Maasai word for a settlement or compound. More than 140 women all working together in this manyata. Some live here. Most, though, live in nearby villages with their families and commute by foot often to work here. And together, they've become successful businesswomen. After their greeting, I sat down with Florence Larpe. She's one of the group's leaders. And I asked her why she and the other women in this community decided to start farming aloe.
As Maasai women, they don't own anything back at home. All domestic animals belong to men. And they say we must work together and form a group as women so that we can get something.
In 2008, men in the community heard their demands and gave these women 40 acres of land to farm. It was not good land. It was eroded and dry and overworked. But still, with that land, they've created a small industry that employs and trains local women.
I volunteer for 2 years, then I become employed, and I like it because it's much interesting to work with women.
The more Florence worked at the manyata, the more she realized how much she liked the camaraderie of working with other women. The women here are proud to show visitors around the center. We make a quick stop at Florence's home. She's one of the couple dozen women who live on site. Florence takes me into her tiny two-room house where she lives with her children. There are no men who live on site. Her house is made from mud, sticks, and
this cow dung.
Cow dung.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to redo it probably a couple of times a year?
Yes.
Or once a year?
Once a month.
Once a month?
Yeah.
Oh. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Florence and some of the other women are eager for me to see the field where they grow aloe for Lush. It is the source of their newfound income. This is not aloe vera, which is not indigenous here. It's aloe secundiflora and thrives in this dry soil. It's an endangered species, and so the women are also protecting the plant by growing it. Now, you may wonder how Maasai pastoralist women got into all of this and were ready to grow aloe and sell it to Lush. Meet Joseph Letonyoi. He's also Maasai and started the Laikipia Permaculture Project 2 years ago, long after the Twala women had organized themselves. Litunyoy lives just down the road from Twala, and he said when his center was looking for partners, the women's groups were a natural fit.
The women groups are easy to work with them because they are already organized, they are ambitious, and they are patient. So the aloe was already growing all over and they know about it. So when we brought ideas of soap making, selling leaves to whatever companies and other places, they clicked very fast and they said, yeah, this is exactly what we wanted.
You sure could say the idea clicked.
So welcome to the aloe plantations. My name's Priscilla Lekutut.
Priscilla Lukutut is one of the youngest members of the Twala Cultural Manyata, and she takes me proudly into the quiet, fenced-off field of aloe, like it's a treasured Eden.
We have 2 acres and a half here. We have 3,920 plants which are planted here.
We saw some elephants on the way over here. How do you keep the elephants out of the aloe?
Twala is 40 acres electrical fence. No animal can come here since our fence is electricity.
The plants are initially cultivated in the nursery at the permaculture center before being transplanted to the women's farm. When the plants are mature, the Twala women harvest the aloe leaves and then sell them to Lush Cosmetics in the UK. How do you actually harvest the leaves?
You just cut with a very clean and sharp knife. You just cut it here.
Right. Lush turns the aloe into a body lotion, and then part of the profits from the cream are turned back over to a half dozen women's groups in Laikipia. Some of those groups make their own aloe creams and soaps locally, so it's actually a product that they sell and use, the best endorsement of all. Are you wearing any of the aloe cream right now, or is that just your natural skin?
We buy from the other women, our neighboring. We buy from them and we use. They are very nice, and I like it.
Hey, Marco, it's Carol back here in Boston. Sounds like you really liked what you saw there in Laikipia.
Yeah, I mean, they've got so much going on there, these women, not to mention the fact that they are banking more than $3,000 a year, which is more than double the per capita GDP for Kenya. These women are focused. They have envisioned this system that includes beekeeping, food for themselves. They're selling the aloe to Lush and making money, and they still have their traditional Maasai connections to raising cattle and goats. I think it just really shows what can happen when you're organized, and then you get a little boost from the outside.
So the Twala Cultural Manyata is way out there in the bush. Where'd you stay?
We stayed there. They've got a couple of nice little guest huts. They even have a little solar panel so you can charge your phone overnight. They've kind of thought of everything. They're ready for visitors and to show them what they're up to. The women cooked for us this delicious meal of goat meat, potatoes, chapati, and this fantastic dish of local chopped kale and onions. They've also built a beautiful stone meeting house where from time to time they have these little conferences on sustainable agriculture. And after dark, I sat around a fire under this most incredible starry sky I can ever recall with Joseph Litunyoy. And we compared notes about what I'd seen because these permaculture systems were precisely what I was working on with school students in Togo and West Africa more than 30 years ago in Peace Corps. So that was really, really cool. Then I had a solid night's sleep in that hut, though, you know what, I had to go to the outhouse in the middle of the night and heard some animals growling not really far away. So that was kind of a really long bathroom break before I went back to the hut.